Let's open the Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Luke 7, 36. Let's hear the love letter from God. 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he says, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meal with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. May Lord bless this precious, infallible word. Let me read the key verse in the passage we have just read. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, to the woman, to the Pharisee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Before we look into this story, let us understand the background of this famous story. Jesus was at the beginning of his earthly ministry in Galilee. In chapter 1 through 6, he had several encounters with miserable people. Jesus cast out demons and touched a leper. He forgave sins of a man with palsy and healed him right away. He called Levi to be his disciple and ate with many tax collectors. He healed a man with a withered hand. He resurrected the only son of a widow when he saw her in the funeral procession, as we heard recently. In previous chapters, he also had several encounters with the Pharisees and the scribes. While Jesus was generally praised by the common people, the Pharisees and the scribes were against Jesus. They took issues with Jesus in three things in the previous chapters. How can Jesus say, "Thy sins are forgiven," in Luke 5? Why does Jesus and his disciples eat with tax collectors and sinners? And how can Jesus violate the Sabbath by healing the sick on the Sabbath? Their enmity to Jesus came to a degree that they were filled with madness in Luke 6:11. They despised Jesus by portraying him as one who loved food and wine, befriending with tax collectors and sinners. Right before the story, Jesus talked about heart of the generation, mainly of the Pharisees and scribes. Luke 7:32 says, "We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept." Boys and girls, can you make a stone happy or sad? The hearts of people at the time of Jesus were like that. They heard the good news and bad news, but they had no response. John the Baptist urged them to repent, but they had nothing to weep on or mourn about. Jesus Christ brought the good news of the year of Jubilee, but they had nothing to rejoice. If you have hardened heart when you hear the gospel, the upcoming story is for you. Jesus specifically talked with Simon the Pharisee. Right after the story, Jesus is said to be preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Chapter 8:1. With Jesus were many women who were miserable before, but were saved by Jesus. They minister unto him of their substance. If you are following Jesus with joy and gratitude, the story is about you. Jesus specifically assured the woman her forgiveness and encouraged her to go in peace. Right before and after the story, Luke mentions the gospel. The upcoming story, it is about the gospel of Jesus, about the forgiveness and the love as evidence of forgiveness. Whether you are unmoved, unbelievers, hardcore followers of Jesus, or a man or woman with lukewarmness, the story is for you. Pay attention to the characters in this story and find who represent you at the meal table. The story tells us love towards Jesus is evidence of forgiveness by Jesus. The theme today is evidence of forgiveness. We'll see first, much and little love. Second, much and little forgiveness. Third is how Jesus used this doctrine to apply to the real people. Love, and deeper is forgiveness. And this doctrine is applied by Jesus to save people. And he is even applying tonight to save and to encourage. Love is evidence of forgiveness. Let's look at first, much and little love. Verse 36 says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. While some Pharisees were mad at Jesus, this one seemed to be mild and invited Jesus to eat together. This man had some room for Jesus, even acknowledged Jesus as master in verse 40. Jesus went into his house and sat down." The Holy Spirit did not mention anything here about lack of anything. But a woman would bring contrast to the Pharisee. The woman, a great sinner, loved Jesus greatly. Verse 37, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at a meal in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment." This woman was a great sinner. Sinner has a meaning of great sinner, obvious sinner, or well-known sinner. The scripture often uses publicans, tax collectors, and sinners together, side by side. We can see from this side by side, we see that this sinner means sinners as notorious as publicans. If Jesus could not immediately know that this woman was a big sinner, then this Pharisee would suspect whether Jesus could be a prophet. It is so well known. Boys and girls, this woman was a very bad woman in the eyes of others. Do you know of anyone around you who are very bad? The good news is for the very bad people. The woman was very bad, but she loved Jesus greatly. The scriptures give great details of all the actions of this obviously bad lady introduced by "behold." Attention, details are coming. It is almost like slow motion, scene by scene. The divine writer of the scripture, the Holy Spirit, has a very different attitude towards this woman. Young people, you all like love stories. All the actions here were love actions. And this story is a love story. An amazing love story about a very bad woman loved a supremely good man, because this infinitely good man loved her first by forgiving her terrible and many sins. Amazing love, supreme love between God and human. Gospel is about forgiveness, and forgiveness produces love. The Holy Spirit beholds her love toward Jesus. Her love overcomes obstacles of fear and humiliation. Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at a meal in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. She knew that Jesus was in the Pharisee's house. What was to expect there? Simon the Pharisee said in his heart, "Who and what manner of this woman? She is a sinner." Simon the host knew this woman very well. Can this fear stop the woman from coming to Jesus? When she knew that Jesus sat at a meal in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, she expressed her love by the costliness of her giving. One way to make ointment is to crush solid ingredients and boil them together in olive oil. When the ointment is kept in alabaster box or jar, the quality and value increases with age. The woman brought ointment, much more expensive than olive oil, and she brought a jar of it. She expressed her love by humbling herself. Verse 38, she stood at his feet behind. She loved him so much and desired to see Jesus, her Savior. But she stood behind Jesus, not to interrupt Jesus, not to bring attention to herself. She just wanted to come to Jesus. And it was okay that Jesus did not see her. Standing behind Jesus at his feet was good enough for her. She expressed her heartfelt love by weeping. The weeping tears were out of repentance, joy, and gratitude. The weeping was the cry of the heart. There were no words from her mouth. But all the people there heard the sound of weeping, the voice of her heart. The present tense of this word weeping shows that all the actions were done in the manner of weeping. She washed his feet while weeping, wiped his feet with the hairs with weeping, kissed his feet weeping, and anointed his feet weeping. All the actions were done by one by one, but her weeping continued all the way. She expressed her great love by sincerely desiring to honor Jesus. Why a jar of ointment? From the words of Jesus in verse 46, we know that it is custom or commonly expected that a host should anoint a guest's head with oil. But this woman came with a flask of ointment, not on head, but on Jesus' feet to honor Jesus. Why did she wash Jesus' feet with tears? It is custom to honor a guest by offering water to wash the guest's feet. The woman came to stand at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus' feet were not washed. She could not afford to see her beloved Lord with such a dishonor. She wept and wet Jesus' feet to wash. She would not use a towel or her sleeves to dry his feet. She would use her hairs. Hairs are the glory of woman. If her hairs were used to wipe dusty feet, how would she look like? Her heart was to honor Jesus at whatever cost. She kissed his feet. Kissing a guest is honor, and she wanted to exhort Jesus by kissing his feet, although the feet might be still wet and dirty. Some of us are like this woman. You have many sins, and maybe you are still a sinner in the eyes of others. It seems to you that you could never meet the standards of others. Or if you are okay in the eyes of others, you are a great sinner in your own eyes. But you cannot deny that you love Jesus. You are willing to give to Jesus. You desire to honor Jesus. This bad woman loved Jesus greatly. But this good host, Pharisee, showed little or no love to Jesus. Simon, as a Pharisee, knew the law well and was careful about keeping the law. The Pharisees were experts of the law and respected by their careful observance of the law. They even went beyond the law and added many extra things and traditions. They were godly and holy in the eyes of the people and often in the eyes of themselves. As a good man, he despised the woman and was suspicious of Jesus. Seeing all the actions of the woman, verse 39 says, the Pharisee spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. The eyes of Pharisees were very different. The love expressions by the woman meant little or nothing to him. The appearing of the woman triggers his impressions about this sinful woman only. The woman's washing, wiping, kissing, anointing with love did not remind the Pharisee of his lacking of doing these things, but only triggered his bad impression about this woman. Such memory of her sinfulness gave this Pharisee a sense of pride. She is a sinner, which implies that he was not, or he did much better. Simon, the Pharisee, was an expert in the law, but was blind to the summary of the law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. He was blind to Jesus as well. He might have thought Jesus might be a prophet if he did many, as he did many miracles. But Simon's thought in this mind revealed that Simon was suspicious about Jesus' office as a prophet, not to mention Messiah. Simon the Pharisee was an unbeliever. As a good man, he showed little or no love to Jesus. The later verses contrast given by Jesus himself gives us sad picture of a law expert. 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this man, this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou givest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. The contrast was great. But the contrast was not between love and hatred. It is between great love and no love. Between sincere love to a lukewarm love. Or between heartfelt love and indifferent affection. Even though Simon the Pharisee did not know Jesus was Messiah, he failed miserably in that he treated Jesus, his neighbor, very badly. The law expert. Are you and I like Simon the Pharisee? You and I may know a lot about the Word of God and also observe carefully about the Ten Commandments. You are very quick to find out other people's sins, but you are blind that you do not love them. The people you think low of may love their neighbors much more than you do, but you do not see that. You find fault with that person, and you do not love them. Are you a law expert only, but not a love expert? Love is only the surface, and Jesus went further and deeper. Much and little forgiveness. Jesus taught that much and little love for Jesus indicates much and little forgiveness by Jesus. Boys and girls, do you see to whom did Jesus teach this important gospel truth? Was Jesus talking to the woman, to Simon, or to others? While Jesus had all these people there in mind, but the bulk of the conversation, Jesus particularly talked with Simon the Pharisee. The whole conversation started with the thought of the Simon the Pharisee in verse 39. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he says, "Master, say on." The following conversation was Jesus addressing Simon's thought. Jesus even gave introduction to this conversation, saying, "I have something to say unto you." This implies something important was coming. Jesus addressed Pharisees particularly. Simon the Pharisee did not show respect to Jesus, but Jesus has a heart for Simon. Jesus offered the gospel freely to a cold-hearted man. Jesus was long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How did Jesus teach this gospel to Simon? Jesus used a simile of two debtors to illustrate his point. One debtor owed 500 pence. A pence was a long day's wage then. If we convert 500 pence in dollars in Michigan, 500 pence means $110,000. The other debtor owed 50, which was equivalent to $11,000. Both of them could not pay. Here in U.S., we have serious consequences if we cannot pay back. Foreclosure, bankruptcy, and other consequences may follow. Back then, in Jesus' time, the consequences were even more serious. The scriptures show that, in one place, a husband needed to sell his wife, children, and everything to pay back. In another biblical occasion, the debtor was not allowed to get out of the jail if he had not paid back his last penny. Being unable to pay back means disaster. But the creditor frankly forgave them both. The money lender generously released their obligation to pay back. Greek has different words for forgiveness, but the Greek word forgiveness here used has more focus on the kindness displayed by the forgiver. The forgiver releases obligation in such a manner that no return of anything is in view. Although the creditor cancels their debts without seeking any return from them, the released debtor naturally loves gracious creditor in gratitude. The degree of love would be proportional to the amount of the debt canceled. How did Jesus relate this simile with the woman and the Pharisee? Verse 44, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman?" Jesus turned to the woman. She was behind Jesus. Now the woman could see Jesus, her beloved. But Jesus still spoke to Simon, who needed the gospel urgently. Simon, do you see this woman whom you despise in your heart? Do you see his dirty hairs? Do you hear the sound of her weeping? Do you smell the ointment? Jesus then listed all her actions and contrasted with this Pharisee. Jesus took notice of each detail of the woman's love and commended her love openly in front of all who thought they were much better than this woman. How different was this woman in the eyes of men and in the eyes of Jesus? Jesus concluded his speaking to Simon in in verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. This appears that because she loved much, therefore her sins are forgiven. But careful study of this sentence shows that this is misunderstanding. Are forgiven is have been forgiven in Greek perfect tense. Also, the parallel sentence right after this shows the order. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The simile of two debtors proves as well such order. Forgiveness first, and then love. So, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, should be interpreted like this. Because she loved much, it shows that her sins have been forgiven much. The love itself is not the point here. Some people love much, and some people love little. Jesus was not grudging at Simon that he should have respected and loved Jesus more. The most serious issue here is the forgiveness. Love is evidence of forgiveness. Much love indicates forgiveness of many sins. And little or no love shows that the person received little or no forgiveness. Simon the Pharisee, you showed little or no love. Your sins are not forgiven. You have no ability to pay back. You will face very, very serious consequences. I am the creditor. Her sins, though many, are forgiven. But yours are not. I am a generous and graceful creditor who is willing to forgive. Do you know that you are a bankrupt sinner and need grace? Imagine that you borrow a huge amount of money and utterly impossible to pay back. You tried hard to repay, but your debt keeps growing. You do not go to the person who lends money to you, but he comes to you. He speaks to you with caring heart and is willing to release the obligation. Are you going to ask for such cancellation of your debt? Is it too much for you to open your mouth? Is it too good to ask? Can anything be better news than this? This is the glad tiding of the kingdom of God. Jesus, the creditor, is talking specifically to this cold-hearted stone, Simon. Jesus was very concerned about the serious consequence and came to talk to debtors, to you tonight. Are you a debtor to Jesus? He's now talking from heaven through an earthly vessel, even to you tonight. Can you see the heart of Jesus to sinners like you? Jesus did not stop at the doctrine of love and forgiveness. He cared about people before him and applied such truth to them to give them the way and the life. Jesus always focused on people. He was not just teaching. He went beyond the theology and desired to save. He's not merely a teacher. His heart is to save. Now we come to the Jesus application. Jesus assured the woman of her forgiveness and pointed Simon and the others to faith in Jesus. Up until now, all the conversation was to Simon the Pharisee. Now, Jesus spoke to the woman. Jesus assures her forgiveness. 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Her sins are forgiven not because of her great love. As we have seen before, it is the opposite. The words are forgiven refers to Greek perfect tense, have been forgiven. Her sins were forgiven before and now are still forgiven. Perfect tense in Greek means what happened in the past continues now. Jesus increased her assurance of forgiveness. Are you struggling with the assurance of forgiveness? How can you be sure that thy sins are forgiven? Jesus links your forgiveness with your love toward Jesus. Your forgiveness does not depend on your love, but it's shown by your love to Jesus. Boys and girls, you may have seen a thermometer. There is a narrow, tiny tube in the middle, and the red ink goes up and down to show the invisible temperature. Love is like the red ink inside the tube, and forgiveness is like the invisible air temperature. If you have this much love, you can know that you feel this much forgiveness. It is proportional. If you have no love to Jesus at all, you may have no forgiveness from Jesus at all. Those who love Jesus strongly normally have very strong assurance. Those who do not love him as much have less assurance. The story of the two debtors shows us clearly that there are different levels of love and different senses of being forgiven. Whether you are forgiven is indicated by whether or not you have love to Jesus Christ or not. This is a yes-no question, not a how much question. Back to a thermometer. It is not about how high the red ink goes to have assurance. It is about whether there's any tiny red ink above the bottom. Let me ask you, do you love Jesus? Yes or no? Note that this question is not how much do you love Jesus? To answer these most important questions in the world, we need to know what it means to love Jesus. It is a huge topic, but we can see this first from the meaning of the word love in this passage, and then from the example of this woman in this passage. We are not looking at the degree of love, but the quality of love shown by this woman. First, the meaning of love. The word love, repeated three times in this passage, is agape. This word expresses personal will and affection rather than emotions or feeling. This woman had much emotion and feeling, but she had more than that. Let me ask you some questions according to the quality of this woman's love that Jesus commanded openly. If someone or something hinders you from coming to Jesus, are you willing to overcome such obstacles? Are you willing? Yes or no? Are you willing to give to Jesus Christ from your heart, not out of necessity, I have to? Do you desire to honor Christ? Yes or no? Jesus assures the woman of her forgiveness and then told them who was with him, the means to get such forgiveness. Jesus revealed who he is, verses 48 through 49. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Thy sins are forgiven immediately raised objections. Jesus was not forgiving sins as an ambassador of God on behalf of God. The story of two debtors clearly shows that Jesus himself is the creditor. All her sins were against Jesus himself. And Jesus forgave her sins. The context shows clearly that Jesus is God who forgives. God was with sinners. God himself was eating with them and willing to forgive. Amazing, amazing news. Glad tidings of the kingdom of God. But sinners around him murmured, who is this one? Jesus pointed Simon and the others to faith in Jesus. Verse 50, and he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Jesus did not say, love me like this woman and you will be saved. The means to get to this forgiveness is faith in Jesus. What is faith here in this context? Faith is believing that you owe debt to Jesus and you are unable to pay back. Faith is believing that Jesus is willing to forgive, release your debt. Faith is coming to such Jesus and ask for his mercy of cancellation. Jesus says to you even now, come to me, my debtors. Do you see this woman? She had many sins, and all her sins are forgiven. How many sins do you have? I am gracious creditor. My name is Jesus, Savior. Are you lukewarm or backslidden? You look at your thermometer and barely see a little bit of red ink. You have no fire in your heart. You still come to worship, to pray, to read the Bible, and keep the law. But you know that you are decaying spiritually. You feel distant from God. Your love to Christ was great before, but not anymore now. You are reluctant to pray. Your love towards other fellow Christians is low. Religion becomes a duty rather than a delight, as Octavius Winslow pointed out. This saddens you from time to time, but you can do nothing. Revival is a work of the Spirit with the Word of God. Here, we see our love to Jesus is only a fruit, and sense of forgiveness gives power to this love. Like Simon the Pharisee, we may be quick to find faults with others and feel good about ourselves. We do not see that we do not love God and our neighbors. Jesus pointed Simon in such a contrast that Simon was even worse than the woman he despised. Simon the Pharisee needed the Savior. You may be doing okay outwardly, like Simon, but you have no love. Jesus cares about you even tonight. He tells you that you need creditor. Come to the Lord as the prodigal son to admit such great sin. And Jesus will refresh you with renewed forgiveness. You are like the prodigal son. That son lost everything. And if you lost love, you lost almost everything. So come again as the prodigal son to receive forgiveness. And from that forgiveness, as a fountain, renew your love to Jesus. Do you have no love to Jesus? But Jesus cares about you. Even now, he comes to you. He's willing to remove. Do you run away from him tonight? Or do you come to this creditor tonight? Jesus, by this encounter, tells us love towards Jesus is evidence of forgiveness by Jesus. Do you love Jesus dearly? That is because Jesus first loved you by forgiving your sins altogether. Do you have dying little bit love to Jesus? Come to Jesus as a prodigal son. Do you have no love to Jesus? This most amazing creditor comes to knock at your door. Open the door. Thy sins will be forgiven. Amen. Our great good God. Who can measure thy goodness? Who can understand thy mercy? Who can represent you better than this merciful Jesus? We pray that sinners, great sinners among us, can overcome obstacles to come to thee tonight. And the former great sinners will rejoice and be assured of their forgiveness, Lord, and revive lukewarmness and forgive us again and again by the red blood of Jesus. Forgive us, our Lord. We pray in the precious name, Jesus. Amen.